This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Is that one of your own outfits that you're wearing today? You've got a clothing line, don't you?
I did. I don't anymore.
You know, I could never find it. Yeah. I read about it in the New York Times.
You and everyone else. I could never find it.
So, you know, this was kind of amazing because you do recognize you in this movie, even under the wig and the whatever. What did you see about this character? Is he the villain of the piece, outside of the monster?
No, I don't think so. He's just the sort of counsel to King Hrothgart, and he tries to do his job, I think. I think they all have... I mean, they're all fairly flawed people in this, so... And as far as the look goes, they showed me sort of what it was going to be before and everything. And that seemed good. But I haven't seen it yet. I'll see it Monday.
So you don't know how much of a Richard III look he's got?
Mm-mm.
Didn't you think it was a little?
Now that you mention it.
Yeah. The other thing I thought was, when he has his, like, fit, when he's yelling at Beowulf when he shows up and gives him that big sort of speech, I thought of Bette Davis. I mean, you were just sitting there.
That's lovely.
Ripping to pieces.
Wait a minute, I'm not agreeing with that.
Okay. No.
I thought if I closed my eyes here, it'd be like I would be hearing one of Bette Davis's tirades.
Yeah, we may have to remake one of those films with myself as Betty. Nobody will be as delighted as I am.
So, but I mean, we saw in that first battle, he goes into the water to hide from Grendel, and yet he's speaking to Beowulf. Where was that all coming from, do you think? As if, you know, Beowulf is the coward.
Well, probably that's what I would assume. I mean, there have probably been a number of studies on that. That's generally probably what bullies do.
Okay.
Confronted, I imagine.
John, did you read the story again to refresh your memory?
I didn't. I had read it in high school. I mean, we studied it for weeks. But normally I find it depends on what your sort of job definition is. But normally I don't find that terrifically helpful because... Unless the script is merely
exactly.
a kind of blueprint for something, I don't find it very helpful because then you have 20 people coming and saying, why isn't this in here? And
right.
I had a long scene where I take a bath, etc.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want that if I were directing. I mean, those decisions are really have already been made for you for the most part. Obviously, it depends, because if you're... if there's room for play, then I'd have a different response. But if there isn't that much room for play, and if the script is a more or less... recognized... entity, then I wouldn't really see the point.
What do you think about the role of women? I mean, originally, of course, in the story doesn't have any women around Beowulf, and I mean, of course, you know, the role that Angelina plays, it almost doesn't exist. And we were discussing this with several members of the press, which is like, you know, they put women either, you know, the whore or the very gentle one that at the end is mourning her husband next to the mistress. And, you know, they keep on doing those stereotypes. And I just wanted your opinion about that.
Well, I'm not sure that I would say that mourning the husband next to the mistress yet is a stereotype, certainly not in the Anglo-Saxon world. I don't think we've quite achieved that state of grace. But, well, there's a great history and literature of the woman being the siren, being the kind of siren call, and that's ancient. I don't think it's particularly at all a new invention. I mean, hence words like muse or siren, which is all, pretty much they're always assumed to be female. As is a mother or wife. I think they made a very good script out of it, which I can't imagine was terrifically easy, having been involved with some degree of literary adaptations myself. It's never as easy as you think it's going to be when you buy the option, it seems.
You said you didn't see him necessarily as a villain, that they're all kind of flawed creatures here. Do you feel, though, in your career lately, people have been sort of typecasting you as being the bad guys?
Only the media. meaning, this year I play a pastor in Clint Eastwood's new film with Angelina. We work Monday and Tuesday again.
Oh, okay.
The Changeling?
Mm-hmm. I did a film with the Coen brothers where I just played a guy who drinks too much but isn't particularly evil.
Which one is that?
It's the called that Burn After Reading.
Oh. The one with George Clooney that's mm-hmm. a comedy?
Mm-hmm. I directed a play in Paris. I don't think that was very evil. I did a film where I played someone, a doctor who tries to warn people about their impending death. And I played a professor, and before I played Klimt. And a guy who went around imitating Stanley Kubrick, but you can't.
That was very funny.
The media says what the media wants to say, and it's utterly impossible to respond, really.
Well, that was good. That was
yeah, but it won't. It wouldn't matter anyway. Meaning, people, you can't forget that you're hired. You don't choose what you do, you choose from amongst the things that you've been chosen for. So, I would say more, I think probably some, perhaps, it's more of a question better directed to the audience or to filmmakers rather than me.
Okay.
So it's what selective memory then. Mm-hmm. Selective memory by the media.
Yeah.
We're basically lazy.
Well, everybody's lazy. I mean, me too. But it's worse to be lazy and erroneous. I do tons of things. I mean, if I write and direct 3 fashion films, then am I a fashionista? I guess, I don't know. It's hard to say.
What are you filming right now?
It's called The Changeling.
Oh, The Changeling, okay. And you're doing something with Tom Hanks?
I did last year.
Oh, okay.
Last summer. That's not out yet. Called The Great Buck Howard.
What do you play in that?
A mentalist.
A mentalist?
Who is rather unsuccessful.
Failed mentalist?
Yes. They love him in... Where do they love him? In Akron.
Did you have any doubts about being... Could you talk about being cast in this role and whether you had any doubts at first before entering?
No, I didn't really have any doubts. an old friend of mine had worked with Robert Zemeckis before and spoke very highly of him, and I got the script, liked the script. I was working in Chicago doing a play and also a movie about 2.5 years ago in the spring, and I read it, and Robert also sent, I think, and to everyone else also, a disc that they had made about the process from Polar Express and everything, about what it would really entail, and it looked very interesting to me. And I liked the script very much, and the cast, having always liked Anthony Hopkins, and I'd worked with Ray before, who I'm very, very fond of, and I've always liked watching Robin, and Crispin, Angelina Jolie, Brendan Gleeson, all very good people. So,
did you see Polar Express?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Regarding your character, which I personally don't see him as a villain at all, but as a very skeptical person, who, you know, I'm like that, so, who doesn't believe everything what is said. Are you personally like that, as skeptical at the beginning, and then just trying to protect yourself or somebody that you care for, and then, you know,
I'm not
mistakes if you have to.
I'm not very skeptical. I'm not a very skeptical person.
How can we believe that?
I don't know. You can't if you're skeptical. I take people as I find them. I don't. If I have profound reason to mistrust someone, then I'll either not have a lot to do with them in the future, or I decide that I enjoy that quality about them. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, in this business there are, I have come across two or three people that one might be well advised to be skeptical of. But, in fact, there are a couple of, say, producers like that who will remain nameless, but who I personally really like and always go back and work with, and it doesn't bother me a bit.
But let's say your character, for instance, he sees this guy that is being glorified, and he decides, well, you know, I'm not going to follow this just because, you know, I'm told to glorify this guy because this guy is going to save us. But he decides to question that.
Yes, and that's also part of his job. And in fact, his questions about the myth of Beowulf are in fact quite accurate and well-founded. So, and I think it's also to do with the tribe, meaning this tribe of which Hrothgar is king were quite a rough and tumble tribe themselves, and then this kind of young Turk comes in talking about all he can do, and they're very skeptical, and that skepticism is most sort of brought to bear in that character. I mean, it's also part of the dramatic structure, but it's also his position to be skeptical.
Well, everybody was praising the you know, the CGI and the way you're working down. There must be some drawbacks. Are they not? I mean, is this just an ideal way to do it?
I would say the drawbacks. Robert is much more well placed to respond to that question than I am. As an actor, there are no drawbacks.
Really?
It's incredibly expensive.
It is.
And it takes a massive amount of time in post production, which I would think must be so detail heavy and so wearing that it must be really difficult to maintain. But as far as the process goes, for instance, we, our company, Mr. Monk, produced a little film a few years ago called Ghost World. So, in other words, we took Dan Klaus's adult comic, adapted it to a screenplay, then got real actors to do it, and tried to give it a kind of gloss of an adult comic. If you could do that film for $6.3 million in this process, you would just film the book. And there wouldn't be 2 or 3 years of, well, actually 6 of screenplay writing and et cetera, et cetera. You could still get real actors to do it because, for instance, in this, I haven't seen it yet, but it was explained to me, and perhaps I'm wrong, that Anthony Hopkins' character, Rothgaard, he looks like Anthony, but he's very, very heavy, very, very big. You know, 600 pounds is a lot of pasta by any standards. Why wouldn't you want to do that? And for us, really, we came, we put our dots on, we worked all day, we had a half-hour lunch, we worked the rest of the day. If I'm not mistaken, by the first morning at 10 o'clock, we were into the third day's shooting.
Wow.
That's how fast it went. And a lot of the people, everyone was well-prepared.
So it's ideal, then.
For me, it was... Yeah. I mean, I rarely have a terrible time doing movies. I rarely have a bad time doing movies. Normally, I have a very good time. But the process, it can be maddeningly slow. And oftentimes, you're quite removed from it. Well, you're not quite... The work you do or need to do might be quite removed from the work that's going on. Let's put it that way. And in this, it isn't, because they do all their work, really. Of course, there's an enormous amount of pre-production planning, but during the actual registering of it, it's just the actors.
So how would you dive into the water?
When you were doing this on a stage without anything, where there's no water there.
I can't... I think I dived onto some pads, if I remember, just like a regular stunt into a pit or something like that, off a table or something. And it's really like rehearsing a play. I mean, you rehearse a play, you don't...
You're in a spare room and there's no audience
And there are no lights, and then no...
And you have no sense of worry that this isn't good or not good, because we're just doing it to the director will tell us.
Yeah, you just do it, and they say, actually, you're right, it is no good, because blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay, thank you. but for the actors, I couldn't see a drawback, and for the process, I would just say, what I would compare it to, it's possible, I have no idea, because I'm sure a lot, I don't have $200 million, and God knows what they'll spend on marketing, and et cetera, and P&A, and all that, although I'll take it if someone wants to give it, but is... Either this will be a process where these things used to be like this, and they had tapes, and they went around, and they were incredibly expensive, and you couldn't... Or satellite phones you carried on your shoulder, and you tried to call your family from Vladivostok or somewhere, and it costs $185, and now everybody has 3.
They're this big.
Yeah, and I don't mean everybody, but I mean so the point is the price of the technology might go down drastically, and if it does, I think it could be a really invigorating or reinvigorating process. If the price doesn't go down, it'll stay as risky as movies always are, you know.
And is this your first time with Clint since in The Line of Fire?
Yeah.
What was that, 20 years ago?
15, yeah.
And was it any different this time?
I got a wrap. It's
hey, how are you? Good.
Does he still shoot the rehearsal?
Ready.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, he doesn't waste tons of time.